Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on moneyline, spread, totals, player props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Red Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggs.
With Molly and Haw.
Biggs time.
The Biggs Report.
With Brad Biggs.
Biggs time.
Biggsy.
His name is Brad Biggs.
Brad Biggs talks football with you.
Mully and Haw, Chicago Sports Radio 670, The Score. Want to give a shout-out, warm welcome to those of you watching on CHSN, the Chicago Sports Network. And we are delighted to welcome in our guy. Brad Biggs is the football man of the Chicago Tribune, a longtime contributor to the station and a valued friend, and he joins us now on the Aturo Tire Hotline. Aturo, your hometown tire, Aturo.com. Big Zay.
Morning, Brad.
Morning, boys. What's going on?
Well, you're on it. You're on the big story. The Bears are, they're just a juggernaut. I don't know how else to say it. They don't need a linebacking core. They don't need all their secondary pieces. They can somehow manhandle Pittsburgh with a backup quarterback. Let's get that straight. But nonetheless, win yet another football game. 8-3 on the year, inching ever closer to the playoff picture in the NFL, buddy.
Yeah, you know, after the fumble in the end zone, you're looking at that and you're saying, okay, how are they going to respond to this? And I thought they responded pretty well, and they were trailing at halftime, but just sort of the game flow made you feel like they were really in control. The Steelers had a terrible time generating any explosive plays on offense. You know, you take out the fake tush push, which was a well-designed play that worked in a big way. They just couldn't get any chunk plays, and so the Bears were able to play the field position game, knowing that they could get up and down the field and ultimately win the ball game.
Brad, I love the stuff you unearth, not just on Saturday mornings. I think what was yesterday's nugget that was the best was on ChicagoTribune.com on your 10 thoughts. DeMarco Jackson and Amen Agbogbeniga combined for 29 tackles. And it was the most two linebackers have combined for, or the first time the Bears have had two linebackers with 14 or more tackles since 2006, when Briggs and Urlacher won the game in the they are who we thought they were game, and Dennis Green's rant. What do they do now if they get guys back? Do these guys continue to play because they played at such a high level? And how do you explain the fact that they played at such a high level?
Well, linebackers by nature are going to pile up tackles. Like, that's their job. That's where they're at on the field. The way that the Steelers played this game, running the ball, and the high-wire horizontal passing game from Mason Rudolph, it sort of put everything there in their laps to make the plays. And I think there's probably going to be a ton they'll see that needs to be corrected. Like, you got to have somebody over the top on the fake tush push. It was a walk-in touchdown after that. There's plenty of stuff that's going to need to be corrected. Like, these guys aren't going to take anyone's jobs here anytime soon, but it should be noted, and the Bears should celebrate it, that they're able to lose all the guys on the top line of the depth chart, plug some dudes in, and get productive football. And I thought it was really fascinating watching the game unfold, because I had a conversation last week with Tyson Bagent. We were talking about running scout team cards in practice, okay? And he sort of steered the conversation to this idea that Ben Johnson and his staff do a remarkable job preparing backups to play, to be ready. And not him specifically, just overall. And as I'm watching the game yesterday, and they've got Jackson and Ogbang Bamiga at linebacker after Hippolyte had gone out, they got dudes missing in the secondary, and you know, the left tackle situation popped up, and then what do you know, Jonah Jackson spends, you know, the second quarter in the locker room. I'm thinking, you know, maybe Bajent's onto something here. Maybe they do have a way of keeping things so competitive for the reserves that they can step up and make plays when called upon.
You know, it was really interesting, because I think when you went into that game, and with Aaron Rodgers there and walk in the field and everything, and Brad, you were watching him and monitoring it, the decision not to play him, do you believe that was gamesmanship all week long? Do you believe they may have decided as they got closer to kickoff that the Bears were kind of in trouble and a little bit less than what you anticipated with all the injuries, and they could take advantage of giving the quarterback another week to get ready? How did you read the way they operated with Rodgers all week long?
Well, I think most teams try to keep their injury and health information kind of close to the vest. I don't think this was any sort of, hey, maybe we can get by the Bears with Mason Rudolph and go on from there. Like, they're locked in a dogfight. The Baltimore Ravens, since that meeting with the Bears in October, have indeed gotten off the mat, right? Baltimore 6-5 now. After the loss, the Steelers are 6-5. They don't have any wiggle room to play with. I think it's a situation where with a fresh fracture of that left wrist just a week ago, probably concern about, you know, if he could brace himself, protect himself out there. So I just think it was, you know, Pittsburgh doing what was best for the player in that situation.
Brad, Montez Sweat had the kind of game that we have been waiting for, and at the same time, that's not even fair to maybe put it in those terms, because he's been very good since the bye. And you had a good nugget, and I think he talked yesterday about how it took him some time, even though he's a veteran, to acclimate or reacclimate to a new system, and Dennis Allen came in here with a different scheme. Is it as simple as that? And is this the Montez Sweat that we're going to see the rest of the way, the one we saw yesterday dominate the game?
Yeah, I don't know if it's as simple as that. Certainly, there was a period of acclimation, and to be fair to Sweat, you know, he felt that he was playing well earlier in the season, first four or five games, when the statistical production wouldn't jump out and tell you that. Like, maybe opportunities weren't there and that sort of thing, but he didn't feel like he was playing poorly. You could look at it and say, my gosh, since the beginning of 2024, this guy's been in a heck of a slump, especially in consideration of his contract. But he's rolling now, and I talked to Jeremy Garrett, the defensive line coach, about it, because, you know, I said, hey, adjusting to the scheme is what you keep telling me, but I've had people tell me for years, when you talk about an easy position for a guy to step in right away and make an impact, whether it's a draft pick or a veteran new to a team, is edge rusher. Like, it's not that complicated. See the quarterback hit the quarterback? Are there going to be a couple calls you got to know? Yeah, but let's not pretend that the playbook for a defensive end is going to be real complex to learn. And he said, while there was certainly some validity to that, you know, but it's knowing where leverage is on every play, and can I go here or not? Is this the spot right here for me to take my shot? And so Garrett thought Sweat was maybe working through a little bit of that, and he also thinks that he's been putting in more work in terms of off the field practice and preparation.
When we talk about what they managed to achieve, how do we project that forward on Friday? I mean, it's a very quick turnaround. You had some injuries out of that game. You're already a team that is very injured, and you're, I think the coach called them devastated by injury. How do you project going into Philadelphia? Vic Fangio is there. The Eagles just lost a bad loss, losing in Dallas. How do you project what happens on Friday? And it's a 7-point spread, as you pointed out from Joe.
Yeah, I think it's a little early in the week to kind of dive in and make a pick, but I'll tell you what, the Eagles, after just falling completely flat and blowing that lead in Dallas, I would imagine that coaching staff will have them on point on a short week, because they can't afford to lose any games and stay in the mix for one of these higher seeds. And it's a pivotal game here. The winner of this game would be, what, in second position in the NFC? There's still so much football to play. Like, it's a little pointless to get in the weeds and talk about seeding and that type of thing, but a huge opportunity. Bears have been on a long stretch of playing teams with backup quarterbacks and journeymen, fill-in types. Here's your step up in class, Jalen Hurts. He's got, what, a $255 million contract. He's a former Super Bowl MVP. The challenge and the bar is raised for the Bears.
I'm curious to see how Ozzie Trapillo grades out at left tackle. I don't know the status of Theo Benedict moving forward, Brad, but the Bears, do they have a nice dilemma on their hands choosing between one or the other, or is there even a choice to be made if Benedict is healthy?
You know, they put Benedict in there, and I think the consistent thing you heard from the Bears is he was making gains. He was improving. So I don't think that Trapillo going out there and playing one game is going to shift what you want to do depth chart-wise. Because if that's the case, then maybe Theo hasn't been showing the consistent growth that they've talked about. And I think the one thing we've come to understand with the Bears and the offensive line is they have been pretty transparent and pretty real. And in a lot of cases, you feel like they're sharing publicly pretty much the same thing that they're saying to the players. So based on my experience to this point, hearing everything they've said, I don't think this is a dilemma for him. I think it's Theo's spot when he's back healthy, but I think that Ozzie accounted well for himself. I mean, that's a good pass rushing team that came in. The Bears had some stuff in place to help him out a little bit, but you would expect that for any younger player in that situation. And you know, you didn't get done seeing the game at Soldier Field and say, "Oh man, like, that drive just got blown up by the left tackle," or things of that nature. Like, he almost went unnoticed. And in a lot of ways, I think that's a good day for an offensive lineman, right?
Mm-hmm. Definitely.
I'm curious, when we look at the Bears and the quarterbacks they've played, and you've gone over all this, how big a step in class is it going against Jalen Hurts? And do you think that that this will be a very difficult game from the perspective of trying to stop their running game more than their passing game.
Yeah, I think if the Eagles want to commit to the running game, it could be a very steep challenge for the Bears. Like, I think Saquon Barkley only had 22, 25 yards rushing yesterday in Dallas. Something has been amiss with that offense in Philadelphia pretty much all season.
Yeah.
Like, you don't go more than 2-3 weeks without hearing about how many different people are upset. And at the beginning of the year, it was this, you know, private meeting with these two or three guys. And it's really, I think, a credit to Nick Sirianni that and Howie Roseman that they kind of keep the thing on the tracks with as much noise as you hear. The defense under Fangio has been fantastic. But, yeah, they got a heck of a challenge with Hurts, with Barkley. A.J. Brown has had two games in his career against the Bears, and they were both big. Last meeting was at Soldier Field. I think he went for about $160, guys, and they were targeting him all day long. That was a different defense, many different players involved, but he's super capable. I'm a little curious about the status of Lane Johnson, the right tackle who's been out with an ankle injury. I don't believe Philadelphia put him on IR. His status would be important to keep an eye on because that's one of the very elite. Him and Penei Sewell are at the top of the class in terms of right tackles in the National Football League.
All right, Brad, before I let you go, I'll let you explain what you were doing on a Saturday morning, surfing the web and finding the Bears placing Tremaine Edmonds on injured reserve before anybody else found it, 5 hours before they were comfortable announcing it, and the blowback, if you got any, about that report Saturday morning. Nice job, by the way.
Yeah, it's great work.
They didn't put him on IR. They put him on IR on their media website, and I'm assuming they did that. Well, I don't know when they did it sometime before I stumbled across it at like 9:45 Saturday morning when I was fixing to gather some statistics in terms of you know, playing time with games lost to some guys with injuries, and I was just, you know, I was going to start putting some numbers together and. So I was just kind of scrolling across the page, and I saw it, and I said, wait a minute. Tremaine Edmonds, does that say injured reserve? And so I refreshed the page. I'm like, this is probably isn't right. I refreshed the page, and he was still there. So I snapped a little picture of it. And, you know, Ben Johnson said yesterday, hopefully they will have him back before the end of the regular season. And that's probably going to be a narrow window, though, right?
Right.
Three more games to miss, and then you talk about trying to get them ramped up. Maybe they'll have some good news in Lake Forest later this week regarding not only Jalen Johnson and Kyler Gordon and a potential return to the 53 in action for them, but TJ Edwards, you would hope, would be close to a return as well.
Could Braxton Jones come back, Brad, or they haven't started the clock on him at all, right?
They could start the clock on him. I don't know if this is your week to start the clock because there's going to be one practice this week. It'll be on Wednesday.
Right.
I'm sure it'll be a little bit on the lighter side. They will have a walkthrough today, though, and a walkthrough on Tuesday as they get ready for a big trip to Philadelphia.
And if they do, will you let us know 5 hours before the Bears do?
Yeah, I'll try.
Okay.
I'll try.
Good
You're
stuff,
the
Brad.
Best. Thanks, Brad.
Have a great day, guys.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. TNCs apply. In app only.
If you have a podcast and want to monetize it, stress-free, you need the Odyssey Creator Lab. We'll host your podcast for free, and our experienced sales team brings in the advertisers and the revenue. Easy. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com and let us show you the money.
In terms of training camp, I thought Coach did a great job setting up training camp in terms of increasing the competition, the physicality. Felt like you could start seeing our identity take shape, even though we know that will really solidify itself as we get into the regular season. The staff did a wonderful job developing some players, putting them really ahead of the developmental curve and in place to compete for starting positions, backup roles, and making the 53.
That was Ryan Poles. This is Raheemy Harrison Grody on 670 The Score on this Football Monday, a Plumbers 911 Football Monday presented by Busey Bank and Great Clips. And we've talked all about the injuries that really were the biggest story in this game, whether it was the injury to Aaron Rodgers that caused him not to play, or finding out randomly that Tremaine Edmonds was placed on injured reserve over the weekend, which was a surprise to a lot of people. There were the injuries to the entire linebacking core. Then there were more injuries to the linebacking core during the game. Then, oh, by the way, left tackle Theo Benedet is out, and Ozzie Trapillo, who we had seen primarily on the right side and used as an extra blocker, was now being asked to play left tackle. So when you consider it all, it was pivotal that so many people had to step up for the Bears in this game, which begs the question, who deserves more credit for the Bears' depth and the win that ensued? Is it the coaching staff for Sunday, or is it Ryan Poles? What say you, Mars Hall Harris?
Well, look, I got to give credit where credit is due. And when you look at what the Bears were able to do from a depth standpoint, where even though guys were going down, the next guy literally was the next man up and stepped in and did a good enough job for them to get a win. And so that is me tipping my hat to the general manager, Ryan Poles, which I didn't think I was going to be doing at this point in the season. But listen, when you get that far down the depth chart, it's one thing. But it's another thing to look at, and again, I don't know what the balance is when we talk about who's responsible for this past draft. But when you see Kyle Manungai, seventh-round pick from this year, score a touchdown, when you see sixth-round pick Luke Newman step in and play 22 snaps, including filling in for Jackson when he goes down with injury.
Hello, Newman.
When you see Ruben Hippolyte getting the start, no, he didn't last long, but he was out there, mm-hmm. right? When you see Ozzie Trapillo play every single snap at left tackle and nary hear his name, Luther Burden making catches, Colston Loveland scoring touchdowns, those are all picks from this year's draft. You can't ignore that they're having an impact, and the conversation around them is way different now than, say, before the bye week.
I'm with. Oop, excuse me. Mike was not on. And you add in like guys that they've picked, like Theo Benedet. Like, I understand he wasn't playing, but that's a solid pickup. The backups, DeMarco Jackson and Ogbog and Bamiga as well. Like, the depth, you can't not look at this roster right now and give a little bit of credit to Ryan Poles, as much as we all were on him previously. There's no doubt about that. He drafts the players, he brings the players in, and you actually have a coaching staff which seems to be able to develop that talent as well. That's a big deal.
Well, and I think there's a couple different pieces that go in it. Number one is that I think that Matt Eberflus definitely had a hand in who he wanted, and that conversation happened with Ryan Poles.
What's that?
In previous years. So even though they didn't get the three technique that Eberflus wanted, there were other ways that you saw this come together. And I feel the same way when it comes to Ryan Poles answering requests from guys like Dennis Allen and Ben Johnson. I say that because how many times have we heard Dennis Allen specifically talk about traits in players that he really likes, or the history that he has with somebody like a Nashawn Wright, like a C.D. Gardner-Johnson? You know, it feels like Dennis Allen has had a big input and influence when it comes to the front office saying that. Now, that might sound like I'm giving a lot of credit to the coaching staff more so than the front office, but here's the thing. Front office could come back and say, nope, that's not the type of player we like to sign, and there could be more pushback there. So in agreement, to even be in agreement on it is a really good thing, because I think a lot of people in those situations might push back. But when you see how people are being utilized, especially as we've joked, quote, off the street, end quote, you know, there has been such success. Dennis Allen knows how to use Nashawn Wright in his defense. And credit to the front office for saying, we'll get you that guy. Dennis Allen knew how to use CeeDee Gardner-Johnson. And so I feel like the front office is able to also help fill in and fill in the gaps, like with Avon Wamiga, who we mentioned, or with Jackson, who we mentioned, those two combining for 29 tackles. They're working in concert, and the respect is there. And I think the biggest difference, too, is we don't talk about how much a good coaching staff can really affect your win-loss. It sounds so silly, and you think it's such a basic concept. But last year's coaching staff with those same players, they don't pull off what happened yesterday with that win. Ozzie Tripillo, one pressure, no sacks, no quarterback hits, and an 88.4 pass protection effectiveness grade. Go play Sunday. I know it's going to be tough. I know you're facing one of the best opponents in the league and one of the toughest places to play. But you at least did your first game good. My goodness, what a shot in the arm that would be for this Bears team if it works out well.
When we're talking about the draft, that's one thing, right? But I think there's clear evidence that Dennis Allen has had all of his influence on these guys that they brought in. Because if you look at it, whether it's DeMarco Jackson, who was the guy with the green dot yesterday, or whether it is CeeDee Gardner-Johnson, these are guys who played with Dennis Allen before. He knows them in and out. And I think the most important thing, the most important lesson, I guess, to take away from this is, in my opinion, Ryan Poles is evolving and learning and understanding where he did come up short before he got his contract extension. And he is now deferring to the experts, the coaches who know what they can and cannot do with certain players. And it's remarkable that they're not only doing what they're doing right now defensively with all these backups and everything, but they're not, like, as of right now, none of their 2025 draft picks that play on defense are can play a football game right now. None of them. Not Zay Frazier, not Shamar Turner, and of course, Ruben Hippolyte had to leave the game yesterday, so not him either. So I think that says a lot about where they are as a team.
I have an instant question for both of you.
Oh, here we go.
Instant question now.
I'm doing this.
I do. I know it's one game by Tripillo at left tackle.
Oh, I know where we're going here.
Where he comported himself well. Will there be a competition for the left tackle spot for the Chicago Bears heading into next year? Will Tripillo, let's just say this, will he be a starter in some way, shape, or form on the Chicago Bears next year? A second rounder versus an undrafted guy in Theo Benedet. Are we doing this all over again next year in training camp?
Unless your name is Drew Dahlman or Joe Tooney, then there better be.
Competition?
Yes.
You're set with Darnell Wright, correct?
Yeah, I'm set with Darnell Wright. I know. I don't feel like he had his best game yesterday, and I feel like there have been so many games this season where he's been great, and then there's been a couple where they've been a real clunker. So that happens when you're facing guys like Max Crosby and J.J. Watt.
Yeah,
that's why I don't view him as clunkers,
T.J. Watt. I'm sorry, J.J. is just a part of my life, man. Well, I feel like I grew up watching that dude
play. He did the game yesterday, too. So
that, yes, and he got to see his brother pass the family record. And did you hear him shout out his uncle? Oh, you probably didn't.
I heard about it. It made its way to the press box, yes.
115 sacks is not anything to snuff out. So, yeah, he's doing a good job. I think there probably will be an open competition.
That's interesting, isn't it?
There should be.
Yeah.
And frankly, if nothing else, for the fact that I didn't hear a false start penalty
yesterday.
No falsies.
Iron sharpens iron.
I like Theo Benedet. I think it's great that he is getting his due. And I feel like it's a great thing that the Bears don't have an ego about this to the point where they're going to say, this isn't our draft pick. He's undrafted free agent. But at least he has earned the right to put himself in the position to try to earn the spot. But this is one of the most important positions on the damn team.
Yeah.
It had better, if there's any question you have, this had better be a competition.
And we're not even talking about Braxton Jones, who probably won't even be around.
Karan Amagaji, anyone?
Karan Amagaji.
So that's my
point. But he's hurt too. You know, they're both on IR, aren't they?
But he'll be here next year. There's no doubt about it. So he'll be part of something.
Here's what I know. What I know is you can't have enough cornerbacks and you can't have enough offensive linemen because they're going to get hurt. That's what I've learned watching football my whole life. And
yeah.
I think with the way passing offenses work, you're always going to need another defensive back. Guess who's got a surplus as soon as those guys come out?
Oh, yeah.
And now, because Ozzie Trapillo, as you said, comported himself the way that he did, Theo Benedet, whichever one of those guys you want, and I think it's going to be Theo Benedet, becomes this auxiliary piece that you can now use, plug and play. And that is a great thing for a team trying to build the depth that you need to get, first of all, through an NFL season, but also have a little something if you need to make a trade to get a big-time playmaker down the road.
I have an instant question for you.
Okay,
yes, go ahead. I'm Raheem Harrison Brody on 670 The Score. Our segment brought to you by AlmostFreeTeeth.com. Save on dental implants today. Should Ozzie Trapillo have gotten the opportunity earlier? Do you think that rookiness, do you think that because he was young and this is his first year in the league, do you think that that had something to do with him not getting this opportunity sooner?
I trust Dan Roschar like I trust Ben Johnson at this point, because they needed some time. They got the time. They put it together, and they look like a competent, I would say, above average offensive line, not just in the middle where they paid everybody, but also on the left and the right tackle spots. And I think if they saw that Trapillo wasn't ready, why rush it?
It was shocking and disappointing how quickly Trapillo was taken out of the left tackle competition during training camp. It's very upsetting. When they put Benedet in, I mean, look, I'm on record. I said it. I thought it was a pawn. I thought it was just, we're bringing this undrafted guy in to motivate everybody because we ain't getting anything out of Braxton Jones. We're getting nothing out of Trapillo right now. So I thought that was, okay, this puts this guy in no man's land because you have your right tackle, hopefully for the next 5 to 7 years or so. That's where Trapillo plays best. They made it sound like he couldn't play left tackle. So my answer is, Layla, it's again a case of trust the coaching staff. The development was perfect leading up. They didn't rush it. They told us, I don't know if I believed it along the way, but they told us, oh yeah, he's working hard. We're hoping to get him in soon. And I was like, oh, we'll see, because it felt like a disaster in training camp. And now all of a sudden, here we are talking about, is Trapillo the future of this offensive line?
This segment is sponsored by Busey Bank, building business, growing wealth since 1868. The best part about this is Ryan Poles told us from day one, oh yeah, he could play left tackle. He could play left tackle. And they're like, we don't think he could play left tackle.
Right.
That's it. I feel like there's still that part of this front office where they're like, we can mold this guy. Tape doesn't matter. It's all about traits and relative athletic score. And if you read the article, by the way, in The Athletic that talked about how Ruben Hippolyte became a fourth round pick, relative athletic score plays a part. Ryan Pace loves it to the point where I think people need to ask him every time, do you love him or do you just love his relative athletic score? Do you like him or do you like the idea of him? Do you miss him or do you miss the idea of him? You feel me? It's that ingrained in this staff. So that's where I say there are too many times where they've leaned on that over the years and it didn't turn out well. I have to also then ask, was it a double failure because of front office choice and coaching staff? Because I think this coaching staff kind of does the opposite. They're going to find out ways to make these players fit.
I think the ultimate part of this, though, is that Ryan Poles was, as far as I could tell, right about Ozzie Trapillo. Because I saw him play left tackle against one of the most feared fronts in all of football and hold his own. So I think it was just a matter of development. It's going to take some time and maybe more time than they thought it would take. If you go back to training camp and what you saw, as far as the three-man weave between Braxton Jones and Kieran Amagaji, you could start naming names, right?
Yeah.
There's a bunch of guys that were out there. And then Theo Benedet is like this fourth dark horse comes in and takes a spot from those three guys. It's amazing. It's remarkable. But I think Ryan Poles was right. So I'll give him his due on this Monday, at least.
If Trapillo plays again this week against the Eagles and there's not a lot of issues, like, then are we talking about this year?
Yeah.
Like, between Benedet and Trapillo in terms of a competition? Could Benedet take a seat, or are we getting carried away?
The lack of pre-snap talk, that what we've talked about every single week about the pre-snap penalties.
Benedet's made a lot of mistakes.
Starts,
yeah.
I think that in and of itself puts him right there in the running. I would not be shocked if that happened. And I wouldn't be like disappointed. I'd be like, all right, if that's the dude that's not making mistakes, let him go out there and play.
Well, and it would be ideal. And I remember when we were all having the debate on who should start at left tackle at the beginning of the year, one of the things was, how can you look at Braxton Jones, a former fifth rounder who slid right in his rookie year and became a starter? a lot of people assumed, hey, man, if you could do that, then Trapillo, no doubt about it, he's going to be a starter. So,
it's, but they didn't. It didn't work well.
It didn't.
And,
no,
and
you're
that's,
right.
And every time we talked about Braxton Jones, it was with the qualifier for fifth round pick. And I don't like doing it because I like him as a person. I think he's really great to talk to. I see why they want to work with him. You know, that's the hard part, too. Such an agreeable person.
Braxton?
Like, yes.
Oh, yeah. One of the most agreeable guys in the locker room.
You totally understand why people want to give him a shot. And, of course, it's not the personality contest on the field. This is not the National Personality League. You know, I used to say when Eberflus was coach, it's not the National Talking League. But when it comes to getting the opportunities, you know, I think every front office wants to say, we discovered this guy. You know, they want to have that diamond in the rough that they think they've unearthed. But sometimes you just have to go with the obvious people, too, and the obvious needs, and that will help you. Like, nobody's ever complaining about the front offices that don't do that and just get the guys they want, because they got the guys they wanted.
That's the goal, right? Just get the guys you want by any means necessary. Go out, and that I thought they took a big step. I thought they took a big step this past offseason because they went out and they made a trade and got a guy they wanted out of Kansas City, and he has become the rock of that offensive line. They went out and got the guy from Atlanta on both sides of the ball. And I think this going forward is going to be their path to success. Just go get who you need, get the best players available, mold them into what you need them to be, and then you can worry about who plays where later. But get talent in-house. I think this is as talented a roster that they've had in-house. Mind you, they're still, for the most part, unhealthy in a long time. Mark, when was the last time they had a roster this talented?
2018.
I think that's the last time I trusted a defensive coordinator as much as I do, yeah.
Defensive coordinator?
Yeah.
Oh, yeah, Fangio.
Like,
coming at you next week, by
I
the
mean,
way.
I mean, somebody could be walking down the street, and Vic Fangio would find a way to make that person a linebacker.
Oh, yeah, man. He's a bad at. Yeah, we'll be talking about him a lot this week.
4 days.
Yeah, because he's...
Short week.
He's running that Eagles defense.
Yeah, and Ben Johnson is the only one who thinks that having the extra day is the advantage, because he's so used to coaching for Thanksgiving.
I thought that was a great point, which I didn't even think about when he said it. But I was like, oh, yeah, that's right. You get an extra day compared to what you're used to at this time of year.
But your entire staff does it. Like, your staff wasn't all from the Lions. That's what makes it funny, too. But give Ben Johnson an extra day, and I like what could happen.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $150 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $150 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$150 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5.
I know where I'm going to bet from now on.
Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show, we bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.
Maybe just describe the way this team keeps winning these one-score games.
Like I said, the history here hasn't necessarily been that. Ben preaches us fighting in those close games, and it's just not the same old Bears.
Montez Sweat says it's not the same old Bears. 312-644-6767 is the number. Your texts are flying in a happy Chicago with an 8-3 team. And your phone calls are going to be taken for a large portion of the show. I think we're going to open the phone lines after we talk to Kurt Warner. So right around 3:25 on the show today, the culture... Yes, sir.
Someone
go ahead.
Actually said something positive about Mike Glennon in the text line a little earlier, by the way.
I don't know if that was positive. Because
you said
DeMarco Jackson has linebacker neck, right?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, he does.
Yeah, so that's an impressive football neck. And then a texter brings up Mike Glennon as having like the preeminent Chicago Bears neck. That's not an impressive bear, nor is
it.
It's
not a neck there.
It's not like a. It doesn't make him better at football, the long neck. It's dangerous.
Means an impressive neck.
Well,
I mean, it'd be really dangerous if he were a linebacker or a lineman, but for a quarterback, I mean, you know, or maybe a defensive back. Remember Merton Hanks, my fellow Hawkeye?
Yes, that's the first guy. That's the king. That is the
first
king.
First team all neck.
First team all neck, without a doubt, it is Merton Hanks. Hanks and Glennon,
And then where we go
boom,
from there.
Boom, 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 boom. Boom, boom, boom. So I'm going to hear that a lot in New Orleans this weekend, by the way. But that's a different song for a different day. Neck is one of the songs that get played during college football games quite a bit. Especially
yeah, yeah, yeah.
In the South.
May I add Davis Mills? Yeah. Davis Mills, thank you. Ooh, a fine yeah. representative for the modern era, for the all-neck team. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. Feel free to keep hitting us with that. You know, it's funny. On Friday, you're doing pregame on Fox because the game will be carried on Amazon Prime, but locally it's going to be carried on Fox. So there's going to be a ton of people out there in Chicagoland who don't have Amazon Prime will be watching on Fox. And then you know who's doing postgame after that on Fox?
Let me think.
Come on now.
It's not me because I'm going to New Orleans.
That's right.
Who's it going to be?
That's me. It's me and Sweet Lou Pinellas. That's right.
Let's go.
So it's you and Lou doing pre, right? And it's me and Lou doing post. So let's go.
Right.
We are bracketing the football game on Friday when these Bears get the Eagles for what? I mean, is it the first real true test of this team?
Good Lord. How often are we going to do this?
You can't say that because I thought yesterday was a real test, man. I thought, because like I was scared all week
long.
They
make every game look like a test. Have you not noticed? They get tested on a weekly basis.
And that is the league. The league tests you.
Yes, man.
I thought yesterday, man, like I was out here picking the Steelers on Friday because I was afraid. I was afraid that the pass rush was going to get to Caleb and they were going to know about his moves because they brought in the scout team quarterback. What was his name again, Alex?
John Rice Plumlee.
Thank you, man. John Rice Plumlee. That's right. They brought in that kid, and he did the Caleb 1-2 and the spin, and TJ Watt like settled his feet and took his time there on the end zone and didn't let Caleb get away. And I'm like, oh man, here we go. The regression monster is coming for the sacks. But it was just one sack.
That's all it was.
On the entire day. Goodness. So here's the question though. Is the culture real? Is the culture real as to why this is not the same old Bears? It feels so to me. Does it feel that way to you, that the culture shift that Ben Johnson and his staff have enacted has had an effect all the way down the roster and all the way up the power structure, frankly?
Yes. Yes. And the results are there not only from a win-loss perspective, but the wide variety of players who have played a role in that speaks to the culture. And, you know, the guys who address things publicly, them kind of sounding like the head coach, that's an ingredient, that's a data point. But the effort they play with, that's an additional data point. And then in the end, the belief that's been necessary for them to come back and win these games. Because a lot of the same heroics that we saw during Caleb's rookie season are part of what we're seeing in the fourth quarters this season as well. But the entire puzzle wasn't there. It wasn't together yet. The entire team wasn't necessarily, I mean, you know, to be invested is one thing, but to truly have belief in that and to be directed in the right way for you to have success late in games. And all these things cascade upon each other. Even having the right amount of timeouts available, to suit some of these situations. Those things matter. Even in the first half, putting that field goal on the board, you're thinking about the play before they end up kicking the field goal.
Oh, dude.
To utilize third down,
to just run
a few seconds off the clock and throw the ball out of bounds
to make sure
that the opponent's not going to get the rock back. All those things are mattering. All those things are being noticed by the players. It's putting them in a position where, yes, there's still some untimely penalties, but you're playing a violent sport with people whose, you know, marbles are a little bit scrambled at times. So, yeah, there's going to be some penalties that happen here on occasion. But you can tell all these players are locked in with the task at hand and with the way they're being led by Ben Johnson. That all speaks to culture.
You know, I talked over you by accident because I thought you were going to talk about the play where they got the big gain to get them into field goal range, which was a beautiful, beautiful call. The Luther Burden wide receiver screen, the little tunnel screen. But no, you're talking about with 7 seconds left, they ran a play just to throw it out of bounds and eat four
Situational
seconds.
Situational awareness.
Brilliant.
Yes. Management
Brilliant.
Of the game, of the clock, of timeouts. And, you know, Cairo goes in and drills the field goal, as he's tended to do throughout his Bears career, where they were reminded of a lot of folks. But then that makes sure that there's no rebuttal that's a veil. I love that, you know, that Ben uses that as the word rebuttal drive.
Rebuttal moments.
There's no rebuttal drive available because of what you did the play before you go ahead and kick the field goal. So, yes, the play call and the execution from Luther Burden. And by the way, Luther Burden blocking his tail off in that game yesterday, too, as he's been doing a lot more. All these different data points point to the culture that's there, and the main aspect of that culture is accountability.
Yeah,
It is holding players to a standard.
The accountability and all the attention to detail like you're talking about is a beautiful thing, and that is indeed what is contagious. That's really well said. The guy I really like to hear talking about culture when he talks about it on this team is Kevin Byard, who's been honest a lot this year. He was honest last week about the offense needing to do more to put these games away. But yesterday when he was talking about winning close games, here's what Kevin Byard had to say.
You guys are winning all these close games. That means something.
Culture, you know what I mean? We've been faced with a lot of adversity all year, whether it's injuries, close games, just a lot of different scenarios. And I think we're able just to fight through that and not really get down on the sidelines, not getting too high, not getting too low. So, like I said, just proud of this group, man, because, like I said, the other side of it last year was not pretty, and we're able to come out on the other side, so just happy about it.
And Kevin knows he saw a culture shift in Tennessee under Mike Vrabel. He talked about it in training camp in exactly those terms, said, I'm seeing it, and I know what it looks like. And now he's not afraid to say it. And that's why, like, yes, they have 8 wins and a negative point differential through 11 games, which is insane. But you can see how much has shifted, and you can see how much room there still is for growth. It is exciting to see all the growth that is still available here for all the skill position guys. Luther Burden is, you know, some up and down days, you know, as you're seeing him. But I'm glad he's out there. He's earned snaps and he's earning this chance to grow and progress. And what was supposed to be a bonus year as they flipped the culture and built has turned into a year where on Friday they're playing for the number 2 seed in the NFC. He's Anthony Herron. I'm Matt Spiegel, and I won't stop saying it because it's an insane place to be.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Make money from your podcast with the Odyssey Creator Lab. You create the show. We bring the advertisers. Apply now at creators.odyssey.com.